Wait for it. What embargo? We're live. Thunderdome.
Hello.
Yell snapping Big Tuna.
Episode 3.
It is.
Right?
I didn't even give it an episode number. I just called it Episode Punch Thunderdome.
Nice.
Just to really focus on it. So today, as we've been hyping up, Yellow Snapper and I are going to be talking about two regionals, punch regionals. Which one? You talk about the Portugal one, man.
All right. So, oh, nice. YouTube just gave me a notification that What Embargo is live now.
We're live. Look at that. There's a little bit of a delay, but we're live.
All right. So, Punch Portugal. So, the Punch Portugal is a 2011 release for Portugal, of course. It's essentially it is a robusto. It's coin. It's coming in at a 4.9 by 50 ring gauge, or whatever, 5 by 50, same shit.
Yeah, 4.9 by 50.
Yep. And in terms of production, a somewhat of a smaller scale production or medium sized production. It made 2,500 boxes, 11 release. In terms of availability, I know that they're still around, but they are definitely difficult to get. It's one of those where you really got to know those sources and that kind of a thing. But within what's around, that definitely the prices have really shot up on it. So in terms of one, you know, when it first came out, I think it was something at like $100 a box for a 10, but you know, I've sold some on the gray market. I saw some selling for like $280 to $300 a box within the last couple of months. So they're definitely really going up in price. Yeah, man. They're
damn.
You know, it's like regional stuff of like, if I can't get it, and if it's Portugal and it's not like Asia Pacific or one of those guys, I'm going to want to hunt for it. You know, it's that whole collector mentality. So basically the Pete Johnson fanboys of Cuba.
Jeez. Nuts.
All right, so a little bit more about just models in Portugal. There's not many out. There's only a total of 4. So the Portugal Punch was the 4th release. I'm sorry, the 3rd release. There's only 4 releases. And just this year, the new release came out, which is the Juan Lopez, the Chiado, which I think you smoked, Seth, right?
I smoked it. Have you smoked it?
No, man. Unlike you and Catfish, man, I'm not that big of a Juan Lopez fan.
Lopez! Yeah, it's – I'll send you those. I'm interested in your thoughts on it.
I
wasn't blown away by it.
I think you said it was a little too young, right?
Yeah, it was a little young. Didn't burn well.
Yeah. Well, it happens for all that new stuff typically. Let's get into what I thought out of it, what we thought out of it.
Let's go to let's introduce this one.
Oh, all right, you do this one.
Then we'll Thunderdome it up. So the other one, and you're smoking right now too, is the Punch Gran Robusto España, which is 6.1 by 50, and it is a 2009. This one had a bigger production. It was 8,000.
Big production.
Yeah, boxes of 10. I got these recently for 150 bucks.
Nice.
Maybe euro.
That sounds right.
But it's not bad.
These are still readily available, man.
Yeah. Well, they made a crap ton of them. And someone's messaging me about how to get on the show. I'm going to say go to SigFed, click the link, click play. This was for Spain, and there's been 9 releases for Spain. Spain gets some good stuff, I think. At least my opinion is.
Mm-hmm. What are some ones that you like out of Spain?
The Por La Arenaga one was really good.
Yeah.
Wait,
which one? The Legendarios or the Secretos?
Secretos.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me finish this. Let me go back to all of them. I'm trying to remember. And we've talked about it. The Ramon Iones – oh, the Vegas Rabbanan Maestros, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's pretty
good. Also readily available.
Yeah. The Capricos, Capricos, Ramon Iones, that's good.
Yep.
The Ramon Iones Grande, I don't get. I don't get while you make a double Corona Ramon Iones when you can buy a Ramon Iones double Corona regularly. And there's nothing wrong with Gigantes.
That Gigantes, right?
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? You already got it.
I feel like Gigantes are probably one of my most favorite double Corona out of Havana. And I think it kicks the Grandes' ass, personally. And, you know, smoking fresh, smoking aged, like, they got legs for freaking years and years. And then they smoke well young, they smoke well aged. So why would Cuba do something exactly to kind of mimic that? I don't know.
The only thing cool about it is that it's like an 898 box. But that's it. I think it's like a tenth of an inch shorter. And it's around nine tenths worse. I mean, it's just disappointing. I don't get what they're doing.
Yeah.
I never got it. But, you know, everyone's got their own little deal. But, you know, actually, I'm not going to get into that punch thing right now because I'm going to talk about it later. But what we're doing is punch Thunderdome. Look at that little bug on the wall, motherfucker. Basically, yeah, I know. You see that bug? It's a nice size bug, man.
Holy shit, what is that?
Just some sort. It's been raining like hell. All the mulch, all the roaches are coming out in my garage. Yeah, man, just living in the nature. What was I going to say? All right, Thunderdome. So the theory behind Thunderdome, same market, and we compare them next to one another. When, man, there's going to be no one of these. Well, I like them both. We got to pick one.
Mm-mm.
And you can pick one, and I'll pick one, and let's see if we get the clear winner after all smoking right. this. And that we're doing this with Punch. What's your feelings on the Punch brand in general?
Oh, Punch brand in general, well aging cigars. I mean, some stuff out of the mid 90s and late 90s are smoking incredibly well. The SS number twos, the double Coronas, they have legs, man. Like, and if you smoke those, they still have decent amount of spice. The body's still at like medium full sort of a thing, which is absolutely amazing. I think in general, it's one of those marcas that I realize that when I smoke it, I enjoy it overall, but I don't really have a lot of, and there's no reason why I don't have a lot of that.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's the Punch Double Corona, I think, is probably one of the most overlooked. I mean, no one picks it up.
Hmm.
And it's a great double Corona. I remember for a long time, I didn't even bother smoking it just because it was one of those, I'll smoke a Ramon Iones Gigantes or, you know, a Lusitania.
Right. Because I feel like within the double Corona scheme of things in Havana, it's such a, like, when people talk about double Coronas, I hear people say, hey, I want like a celebration cigar. So typically people say, all right, get Esplendidos or get or something of the bigger Vitola, right? Like get Esplendidos or get H. Upman, Sir Winston's, yeah. Right? So I feel like guys like Punch and St. Louis Ray gets overshadowed by those, you know, quote unquote, better known marcas out there. And that's unfortunate because Punch Double Coronas are fucking good, man.
St. Louis Ray is so unreliable.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but, you know, and it's just, yeah, Punch gets overlooked. And, you know, you look at the Vitolas out there. I mean, besides the Double Corona, they got the Punch, you know, they got that Corona Gorda. So it's, which I never understood if it's Punch or if it's Punch.
Punch. I don't know.
I never got it. because it's the Punch brand, but then they call it the Punch Punch. So yeah. I was always wondering, is it Punch Punch Punch?
Oh.
So, but other than that, then you just have a bunch of short Coronas. So there's not really this, I guess you can say, in between there. You know what I'm saying? You go from a Corona Gorda to a double Corona.
Right.
It's a big jump.
Right.
So then I started looking at all these regionals for Punch. What are they making? And everything is basically like there's a couple petite Robustos, a lot of Robustos and Robusto extras. So obviously people like the Punch brand and they want to smoke them in these sizes.
Yep. I agree. I personally love the size, man. Like it just, you know, it's Robusto is cool and everything, but I feel like Robusto is one of those where I kind of feel like, well, if I don't really know much about that cigar and I don't know much about that marca, Robusto is one of those that I would pick up, especially in the non-Cuban market. But mm-hmm. in the Cuban market, it's more the petite Coronas and things of that nature. But yeah. still, I will put Robusto as one of those to kind of gauge if I overall enjoy that marca or try to get some sort of a sense of it. Something like a Grand Robusto is something where I feel like, okay, you know, for instance, I like Punch, but 5 by 5.5, I want to milk it a little bit more, so add another inch to it. You know, I'm a happy camper.
It's absolutely perfect. I mean, you know, you look at these people, look at Cohiba. What's like everyone knows Cohiba for, like Robusto.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's other sizes. I don't even want to get into an argument with the Cohiba nutbags out there. But then you have Partagas. You know, you have the D4. You know, I think Boulevard is kind of between Royal Coronas and Bellicoso Finos, but you're looking at that 5.5, 5.50, you know, 5 inches, 50 ring gauge kind of an area. So you're looking at that standard size, and that's what people go to those in sizes. So when you get to something like this, a little Toro or a double Robusto, it's a little bit more of a commitment, but I think you're getting a little bit more out of the cigar as well, I think, rather than just that Robusto.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to pick a winner, and I can't definitively pick one right now because I'm smoking this guy.
Is this your first time smoking that?
What's up?
Is that your first time smoking
that? No, actually. I smoked probably 4 or 5 of these already.
All right, hurt.
So I think for me, the clear winner is this Grand Robusto.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
Explain.
So I took some notes on that Portugal one. So within that Portugal, I first want to put a disclaimer and say when I first got those about 2 years ago, it didn't smoke like that at all. I felt like it's kind of going through this like funky, muted kind of a period.
Yeah.
I didn't get a whole bunch in terms of flavor out of it. I mean, let's just start. Let's just kind of go through my notes. I kind of did like a write-up of the pre-light experience and then just overall, you know, first, second, third, which is pretty much all homogeneous for that cigar, I felt like. So I said in terms of pre-light, you know, the actual wrappers, they're not the prettiest wrappers. You know, it's Cuba being Cuba. There's some green spots. It's some fermented parts.
I love the green spots. I mean, the green spots are their way of saying they love you.
Right. Green spot means money, buy it.
Yeah.
So in terms of the actual, you know, cigar, it was well made. I mean, there was a nice give on the foot. You know, overall, very well wrapped, no soft spots. You know, whenever a wrapper smells a lot of like barnyard and cedar on the nose, it's usually a good story for me.
Mm.
So in terms of the actual pre-light draw, I didn't get much out of it. Just mainly natural tobacco, you know, some like dry cardboard, several sawdust kind of a, you know, nose to it. Nothing fun about that. Nothing noteworthy about that. In terms of the actual flavors in general, man, so this is a 11, right? Which means it's been around for a good, you know, 4 years or so.
It's had time.
It has had time, but it didn't smoke like it had time at all for me.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
I feel like, yeah, so like
but the 4 years is fine. 4 years, it says time. You can't tell me that it needs, you know what I mean? Like it needs more, and I'll agree with you. But you can't say that 4 years, it's not enough. 4 years, it's had its time, man.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say that it's by any means a cigar that's just going to keep on deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because even though I didn't get much flavors out of it, like my main flavors out of that cigar was cedar and some like light cream or like medium bodied sort of a cream. You know, I didn't get much in terms of the floral notes. I didn't get any of the like stone fruit or fruit notes at all.
Really?
No, I didn't. And I got a lot of, you know, I got some of that like roasted nuttiness sort of a thing going on. But in terms of, you know, fruit, like fruit, floral aspect of it, I wouldn't say that I got much out of that in that arena. Like nothing that's super noticeable.
Yeah.
I feel like even though the actual notes weren't all that exciting, I feel like, you know, like how do I describe this? So certain cigars you smoke, you feel like kind of like a good wine. It's got body, it has tannins, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that Portugal cigar had a lot of tannins, meaning it still had that kick. It still, you know, to that extent, I feel like it still needs to kind of meld together with the rest of the leaves and need more time. When I first smoked these 2 years ago, it was a completely different cigar. It was it was incredibly rich. It was incredibly floral. Like notes were, although young, it was like in your face.
So it was better. It was better 2 years ago.
It was good 2 years ago. I wouldn't say at this point, if it was my first time smoking it, I wouldn't buy those.
Yeah.
So
it's you know, it's feeding off of that. When I smoked it, the first third I thought was pretty good. It showed a little bit of what punch can show. And I always find punch has like a nice stone fruit spice. You know, punch has that sweet spice. You know, it's not like bombing you. But some pretty good flavors. And then right when I get, you know, probably towards the end of the first third, it just kind of just goes downhill and it loses all that sweet spice. It just loses so much. Hmm. And it gets flat. It's like it went all out and then just died out. So, and even throughout the whole final third, it just continued doing that same thing. So it was, construction was nice, but it's just the flavors were, they just died out. And it was really disappointing. And it's, I don't think that it's going to get worse with age. I just feel that the blend itself just wasn't doing that great afterwards.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that it'll do well with age because, you know, it is a 50 ring gauge, which I feel like, you know, it's not something that's smaller Vitola. And usually you go 50 and up, time does help in Havana cigars, in my opinion.
Yeah. You get all that binder and filler tobacco that really can age.
Right, for sure. But is it worth smoking? Is it, you know, is it worth smoking now? Definitely not. I would say if you have some of these, don't bother. Just give it some more time, you know, sample it in the next, like, give it another 6 months or so and sample it again. At this point, I do not think it's worth smoking at all.
No, it's not worth smoking. I wouldn't tell people to buy a box of it. I just don't think it's smart. It's not a smart purchase. It's just, I don't know where it's going to go. And I don't think it's fair to say the cigar is going to get a lot better.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Which is a shame.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah,
it's a size though. That's, you can tell people want these Robustos. I mean, you almost were like, come on guys, just make a punch Robusto.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's kind of like that size where it's like, why it's such a fundamental Vitola, right? Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Why did you make that as regular? You know what I mean?
You know, I'm writing a review on it and I'm talking about punch in general. And the way I think of punch, it's that middle child. You know, it doesn't ever compare with the first child, which is like the global brands, that Cohiba, Monte Cristo, Romeo. The parents are like, you're not as successful as them.
Right.
But then you got the younger siblings, which are like Ramon Iones, Juan Lopez, you know, and they're a little bit more fun and entertaining and they capture attention. So it's all that. So punch is just fucking stuck there. And they've never been able to really do anything to get out of there. Like Bolivar has had successes. You know, they've gotten out of that rut. But I think just fucking stuck there like that middle child.
I totally agree. I think when you look at the long scheme of things, you're talking about the Carnegies and the Vanderbilts, right? Which are the Cohibas.
Yeah.
And Monte Cristos, right? So now you kind of talk about, and the way I kind of analogize, do an analogy of it is, and then you basically, those guys, the fathers, they have kids, right? Some of them will turn complete shits, and some of them take their father's business, like the Vanderbilt, and they create a bigger, more successful business, right? So I feel like the punch is definitely that middle child that the parents don't really give that much of a crap about.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, he went to boarding school with the rest of them, but then afterwards he became a college professor.
Right, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with all the college professors out there. If there's anyone who's watching a college professor, we're not bashing y'all for that. It's just punch just never made it.
No, God bless them. You know, go for that tenure, whatever. So, hey, whatever. Good, you know, good tenure, good pension, whatever.
Yeah, it's
so. Let's talk about flavors of this.
This is what it's all about, in my opinion.
Yep.
This shows what Punch needs to show, and what it can show when it's great, and what a terrific size to do it. I don't know about you, but aren't you just getting those sweet spices continuously?
Oh, love it. Every draw, sweet spice. Mm-hmm. You know, there's spice, and it's like this spice, and the sweetness is kind of like a brown sugar sweetness for me.
Yeah.
And it just, it mixes so well with that spice. Like, I feel like, first of all, within this past 2 weeks, I haven't smoked a lot of Cuban cigars. I have smoked quite a bit of, namely, like Blind Review cigars.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time I talk about, and I do reviews on Blind Man's Puff on those, and seeing the spice in that, the spice is typically so overwhelming for me that it just completely wrecks my palate. Whereas something like this, I feel like the spice is a complement to the rest of the flavors. Rest of the flavors meaning, like for me, the brown sugar, the creaminess, the floral aspects of it. There's little notes of like ripe fruit here and there for me.
Yeah, there's some cherry aspects of mine. It's just really lovely.
But the thing is, all that, it's combined and it develops a very nuanced, put together, comprehensive cigar experience.
Yeah, it's balanced. It's an awesome smoke, and I've smoked a bunch of these, and to still be able to get these for 150 euros a box,
easy,
way more than that.
Yeah,
way more than that, especially for being as old as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, huge production on these things. Gosh, I mean, if I was a retailer and I had these, I'd put a bunch of boxes aside and keep smoking them. And every year, jack it up if it's still friggin' awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think this is one of those cigars where I would say it's not just a box buy. It's a multiple box buy for you to smoke basically a shit ton of it right now.
Oh, yeah. It's hard not to smoke these. It's one of these. It's a great size, and one of the guys who I just got back from Belgium on a trip with Royal Agio, and one of the guys, he's a big Cuban smoker. He wanted to smoke, and I'm pretty sure I gave it to him. I think I gave him one of these and a the Partagas 14 Limitada. Mm-hmm. But this is just awesome. This is a great stick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clear winner. Clear Thunderdome winner. Hands down.
And I'll be honest, man. When I went into it, before I smoked them, my mindset was that Portugal one was the one that when I smoked it relatively, you know, when I first got it about 2 years ago. And I had it in my mindset that was going to be a clear winner. But that one's not ready yet, man. I don't know if age will do well. I don't know. I'm hoping for it purely based upon the Vitola and the 50 ring gauge or the Vigor Vitola. And I felt like I still had that. It still felt like it had body to that and like an edginess to it on the flavors. So based upon those facts and my smoking experience, I'm going to say that I'm going to lay down a few more months and come revisit.
Yeah.
Whereas at this point, at Thunderdome, I mean, this guy's a clear winner. No doubt about that.
This, it's still got time with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you smoked these back when they were first released.
No, I didn't.
But I imagine when they were first released, they're...
Oh, I'm sure they're strong.
I can't see them not being great at the same time, strong, really flavorful.
Right.
But how they're smoking now, even in a couple years, it's going to be a little bit more tame, but it's still going to have tons of flavors.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. I look forward to even the spice dying down a little bit and then mixing in and having more of that floral, you know, fruit notes shine. And that'll be equally an enjoyable smoke for me.
Yeah. It's one of those releases, you know, and I've always thought, and you know, even Catfish always said, you know, Spain's got really good releases. Spain's got good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I smoked your Spain stuff. I said, yeah, he's absolutely correct. They really do have good stuff.
And it's awesome, man, because Spain's releases for the most part, they produce a good amount of boxes. So it's not like one of these like, haha, let me just do 500 boxes and good luck chasing after them, right? It's like, no, like they, you know,
they
know their customers. They know that Spaniards and the greater area, they enjoy and they know what quality cigar is. So I think that's great. I think that's a great business call.
Yeah, I think they know that a lot of people are going to seek their stuff out. I mean, right. It's one of those items. You're right. They're not just doing these small productions because let's face it. You know, your Cuba tobacco, your Habanos, you know, you get Spain who says, hey, I want to do 8,000 boxes of 10 of this, you know, Punch Double Robusto. Hey, man, that's a huge commitment. That's a lot of money in a hand. That's great. B, 10-count boxes. Man, this is easy sell. A 10-count box regionally, you know, and if I'm still able to get it for 150 euros years after its initial production, which shows they still have them, they're aging. Great. But it's just, this is an example of when the regional program does amazing things.
Yep.
And, you know, they always say if it's a really successful regional, they'll make it regular production.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. I know they did it with the Magnum 50 for the Limitada. But it's like, wouldn't you love to have this regular production all the time for Punch? I'd smoke Punch a hell lot more.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, if they did these in, you know, dress box or slide lid box at 25, oh, that's an easy couple box buy for me.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, in some ways, I would love for them to say, hey, we're going to discontinue, you know, a Petite Corona and maybe another one, but make this easy. Smart decision, I think. So,
yeah. So question for you, Seth. So do you think either of these, so one of the things I kind of feel about what there's a throwdown that we did is, I mean, we did pick the same marca, two different regionals, right?
Yeah.
And which regionals, as we know, for the most part, is not a good representation of the marca.
No.
So do you feel like within both of these that one, both, or the other, is it a representation of Punch as a line?
I think this is a great representation of Punch.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it represents Punch. Like, you know, I've smoked enough punches to say, well, okay, this is similar to a punch. I think it's a little bit richer, but it's a bigger size, bigger smoke. But it shows what that market can do. The other one, I think, started out too and then went away.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Cool, man. Anything else you want to add to the throwdown? I mean, I think our conclusion is unanimous in saying that the Spain one is a clear winner.
No, man. Smoke it. Buy it. If you can get
it. Okay, buy it. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely multiple box worth buying. Like, none of this, like, I got to sit on it. It's ready to go, man. And if you want to sit on it, you could do so as well. So, very good.
Yeah, it's one of those. You don't even need to sit on it. just smoke that bad boy.
Right.
The other thing we can talk about.
Let's do a quick talk about what we've had for the last couple of weeks, man, since we had the last show.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to remember. Well, first thing I smoked recently on my trip back from Antwerp, I smoked the El Rey del Mundo Exclusivo for the Netherlands. I think it's 2008. Maybe it's 2009.
The Eden 1?
Right? Yeah, 2011. Wow, I was way off. Which it's a good little smoke. I think it shows some of those. It's a little bit stronger, a little bit more more flavorful than I think El Rey del Mundo usually is, which is not a mark I'm typically a fan of. But it's a nice release and it's a cool size. It's a great little kind of a Robusto S size.
Yeah, I feel like El Rey del Mundo is the child that Habano SA wants to disown eventually.
Yeah, it's you can always tell the brands that when like they start chopping them, they could bring it back, and they've done it before. It's one of those things. I think you could bring it back, and when you bring it back, really do it right. I mean, what they did with Vigueros was ingenious.
Yep.
And it's like you mentioned the Tanyo on my post on Instagram. Imagine if you cut El Rey del Mundo, then you come back with like a Churchill and maybe a Petite Corona and something in between.
I feel a little El Rey del Mundo. That's a tough markup for me because I feel like I'm so. It's chasing that unicorn, man. So that 2001, that El Rey del Mundo Tainos that I had was by far probably the best cigar I've ever smoked in my life.
Yeah.
So, and knowing the current state of El Rey del Mundo and knowing that there's not much around, I mean, how could I – I mean, there's what? My only choice is to go through those private auctions and private sales and pay up the ass for one of those,
Yeah, I mean – unless you just want to go smoke Choice Supreme.
Right.
Smoked them. Yeah, not really interested.
Yeah. I can't do the Schwa Supreme justice because I have not smoked – I've only smoked young ones, and they were incredibly youthful, very, very unbalanced, lots of – it's very edgy, not well-rounded out at all. So I can't definitively say if I like that or not.
Yeah.
But I have hopes because I have heard that people that have sat on them and have smoked aged ones are, they've all been winners.
Yeah. So. It's one of those, it's a lot of age, but it's not a marker for me, but it is what it is. Another one I smoked, I picked one of these up when I was in Antwerp and bought a bunch of stuff in Antwerp and was like, oh, I'll smoke it. I picked up some more Siri de Oyas.
Nice.
Yeah, which was – it smoked nice. It was good. I think everyone says it shows great potential for age, which I completely agree on. I've had some which smoke awesome now, and I've had some like the one I smoked recently, which was this is good. It just needs some more time. But the constructions on it is beautiful. The wrappers I've had are just phenomenal. Big cigar, but really good one. I mean, I think you've had it. You like it.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. I would actually smoke more of those now. I mean, I think that they could definitely use sit time. But I also think that they're so good that you could smoke them fresh and young and still a very enjoyable cigar. Very similar to Connie A's.
Yeah. The other one. Smoked what you sent me, the Edmundo Dantes Condi 54.
Oh, I haven't read your review yet. Was it good?
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Still good, right? Still good, apparently.
Man, Edmundo Dantes. I mean, I've smoked now the 54 and the 109, and wow, that's you can't beat that, man. That's just – that's one of those – that's a unicorn right there. That thing's just
– yeah.
It's the champ.
It is. It's so disheartening to smoke something like that. And if you don't have it, you're like, damn it. Now, yeah. If I search for it, I'm going to have to pay retail – I mean the fair market value on those, which right now I think is about probably nearing like $40 a stick or $45 a stick.
It's – yeah. But gosh, it's one of those sticks that you just – I don't know how people could age them. You know what I mean? How could you not want to smoke that goodness?
Yeah, it's you forget about it. It's the push it way back into the cabinet or way down into the cooler and just forget about
it. You bury it and you set some reminders on like your phone or something that like right. Half a year. Oh, look at that. I got to smoke a 54 or a 9 or something. Because, I mean, you know, it's just that's what it's all about. I think when it comes to, you know, cigar smoking, when you're smoking regional editions, I mean, it's just. Anyone, I don't know anyone who's ever smoked one and said, oh, this isn't that good.
Yeah.
And if I ever met someone who said that, I'd bitch slap the fuck. Because there's no one of those palate opinions bullshit. It's you're a dumbass if you don't think that's fucking amazing.
No, I agree. I feel like that's one of those cigars for me in which I say, this is why I smoke cigars.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I keep smoking cigars, for moments like this.
This is why I do what I do, man. It's just, I mean, Max Gutman and Max, I mean, gosh, you have to know that when he got those, he was like king of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. But the good news is there's going to be another variation of that coming out someday. Yeah. Hopefully this year or probably next year rather. And that's going to be the Torpedo, I believe. I think it's going to be like a 6x50 or something like your standard Bellicoso.
Is it going to be a standard Bellicoso? I wondered if they were going to do that or kind of go off of the Cohiba Pyramides extra and make it a little bit bigger.
I'm curious actually.
He's pulling it up.
Yep.
Here's your question. Here's a question I have. You know how successful these are.
Uh-huh.
Your Max Gutman, Mexico, Habanos. Why would you not just make them expensive as hell? You know what I mean?
Why wouldn't you make it expensive? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like why I would be like, shit, everyone knows how fucking good these things are. Let's just crank up the price.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a picky thing to do, and I don't like the idea as being a consumer and all, but it's just what a hell of a brand.
No, I totally agree. I mean, as a consumer, I wouldn't want that, but as a businessman, I would, of course, want that. But I mean, they're not cheap cigars from the get-go, man.
No, they're not, man. They don't mess around. They make that legit. So,
anyways, I can't find a damn thing right now. But anyways, moving on. Anything else?
What'd you smoke?
Not a lot, dude. In terms of Cuban cigars, I've only had two since we did the show 2 weeks ago. I've been on a rut, dude. So I went down to LA to see one of my best buddies, that got me into cigars actually.
Nice.
But now he doesn't keep up with it. So it's kind of a bummer, but it's all right. Slowly bring him back in.
Bring him back.
Yeah. So with him, we lit up the Bolivar Super Coronas, the LE from 2014.
Yeah.
It was not good. It tasted like a freaking ashy non-Cuban.
Dude, I smoked one in Antwerp. Same experience. Awful.
What happened? What have you smoked one fresh?
I don't know how fresh. I mean, it was it was a pretty new box that was opened up at the LCDH. And, you know, I picked up a couple. It was like, yeah, I'll smoke a couple of them. I lit one up and I was like, geez, it was after a really good meal. You know, it was, and I was like, gosh, this is just terrible. This is
fine. I had an interesting experience. When I smoked that with him, we just came back from Morton's and I had a freaking 30 ounce bone in ribeye, right? And it was primed to smoke a good cigar. Like, taste buds are ready to go.
Oh, yeah. So
everything was ready to go. And we lit that up, and we didn't say anything about it. And halfway through, I was like, hey, Sunit, my buddy, I was like, I'm pitching this, dude. This is not a good representation of what this should be. And I was like, if this keeps up to be this way, I am ditching all these boxes that I bought. So, yeah.
It was it's disappointing because, you know, I haven't smoked the Partagas, but I think the Partagas is going to get better.
I agree. I love the Partagas. I still love the Partagas. I smoked one probably, what, like 2 weeks ago? It's still delicious.
So, I don't get it. I haven't smoked my second one yet, but it's one of those things that I'm like, gosh, this is just total
garbage.
Yeah. Total waste.
Yeah.
Poor representation of the Boulevard.
Yeah, agree. So what else? Oh, actually, two comes to mind. So that same buddy, he recently bought some very fresh Cohiba Esplendidos with the new band and everything. And I think he said that – I asked him what the box code is, and at first he was all like, what does that mean? And I was like, okay. You know that little code that says like three letters and then another three letters and then the year, two digit. Do you remember what that is? He's like, well, I think it's – something 2014. I was like, okay, believable, since it's a new big old band, right?
Yeah, it's the new bands. They started putting them on late last year, I think.
Right. That cigar, it was exactly what I expected it to be. It was incredibly unbalanced. It was full of pepper. It was full of cream. Like, it's one of those when you first smoke it, you kind of taste that ammonia and that metallic note, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But in the midst of that, you still get a lot of this cream and the pepper, that Cohiba cream that a lot of people really enjoy, that grassiness, which I definitely picked up. So
I love that Cohiba flavor, but Esplendidos are just, man, I won't really buy them. I mean, I bought a couple, but I can't go down that road because of that.
Yeah. I mean, Esplendidos are some of the best cigars I've smoked and some of the most letdowns that I've smoked as well.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people complain about the inconsistency of especially the Esplendidos. And I totally agree. I see that. And if I'm going to spend, you know, that $23 to $25 a pop as fresh cigars for those, I better get something way more than that, you know?
It's one of those I understand that a lot of Cubans need to age, and I have no problem with that. But there are times with Cohiba where it's quite frustrating. Like Siglo Six, I think for the most part they smoke okay good young, or they smoke good. Sometimes they smoke great, but age them. To me it's like, I know what I'm getting myself into, and I know that it's going to smoke really well. The Siglo 6 is not going to let me down.
No.
While you have an Esplendidos, I mean, who knows what the hell is going to happen? I mean, you might, as you say, you might get something truly amazing, and it happens. Mm-hmm. But you also might get yourself a total dud.
Yeah. And for the price point, are you willing to take that gamble? And I totally understand why people don't want to take that gamble.
Yeah, exactly. One of our watch viewers just sent me a message saying, well, there's a bunch of them, I just see this. Esplendidos are amazing, but you have to sit on them for at least 68 years before they become amazeballs, which amazeballs is a technical term for those magnificent cojones. So, which, like, I mean, you got to age them.
I agree. I agree that you don't do that cigar justice. Whoever wrote that. I agree with you. You don't do those justice unless you have a good 6 to 8 years on them, minimum.
Yeah.
Because it only gets better after that. But even at those rest periods, unless if you did the aging yourself, it is also a gamble to buy from others, especially gray markets that may pop up with those. And, I mean, who knows how they aged them themselves, right? What kind of humidity that they were in and what kind of temperature they're in. So, yeah. I mean, time will still tell in terms of when my Escondidos that I'm aging myself will get to that point. And if this show still goes on in the next 4 years.
Four years, man. That's where, you know, I bought some Bahiques at Duty Free. All right. They're young. I threw them in my low and cool, you know, my coolers. So, and I know, just let them be.
Yeah. I'm
not gonna bother them. Just let them chill down there and do what they have to do. But I'm controlling that aging and I'm controlling that temperature. Because you're right, there's some of these retailers, I mean, especially gray market, you're absolutely correct. I mean, sometimes you can get some really aged gems.
Right.
And sometimes you can get some good old duds.
Yep, exactly. And yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes, right? So, but yeah, totally agree. Last but not least, I smoked a Alfredo Martinez Robusto, which is a custom roll.
Yeah.
Have you smoked those yet?
I think I have. I've smoked the Alfredo Martinez. I smoked some. Yeah, I have. Yes, Catfish gave me some. I think I have.
Cool. I know you're not a big fan of the Cuban custom rolls, but I think that one is probably one that is worth getting. I mean, definitely young. It was rolled back in, I think, April this year. But it still had that creamy stewed fruit sort of a thing. Very young, but it was delicious, man. Like, that is a bundle that I could probably get another bundle of and I'll be very happy with. But, you know, I think those are running about $200, $250 for a bundle of 25. And for that price point.
You can choose your Vitola, right? You can choose what size you want, don't you?
Yeah, but, you know, the bigger the Vitola or the special Vitolas that you want to choose, they'll mark up the price on that.
Oh, of course they would. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly. Because I also bought some Conde 109s in that as well.
I think I smoked a Conde 109.
I didn't like it as much. I actually prefer the Robusto.
I don't think I liked it either.
No. Yeah, so that's it. Oh, Seth, you want to talk about – so for those of you guys who don't follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tinder, Grindr, whatever, Seth recently went to Belgium for a little cigar trip. So you want to talk to him about that and kind of focus on the Cuban stuff?
Yeah, well, I went there for for Royal Agio. Agio Cigars with Drew Estate. Royal Agio makes a lot of short filler cigars in the Netherlands, in Belgium. Well, actually in Belgium, not in the Netherlands. That's where their factory is. But they also have some long fillers coming out of the DR. But which was great. So it was fascinating to see their factory, by the way. And I have some videos and it'll be an article in SigFed, but geez, man, machine made stuff is pretty damn incredible. But we got to go to a Trappist Abbey, but have a little tour, drink some beer, which was a lot of fun. It was beautiful Abbey. You know,
you're a big Belgian beer guy too, right?
So yeah, And I drink a lot of it. I read a lot of it. So I'm a little knowledgeable, but I went on the trip with a lot of good guys. And a lot of guys that are really beer knowledgeable. So it was great to really talk with these big beer guys about it. But then, so when we got into Antwerp, we had some time before we had to go to dinner. And I saw where the LCDH was. I was like, I'm running to the LCDH. I don't know how long we're going to get. This is my opportunity. So I go to the LCDH, which is a beautiful – if you're ever in Antwerp, you should go to the store. It's the humidor is on the bottom floor. The lounge is on the top. They have a really great rum selection there. So I walked in, and I spoke to the lady and said, hey, you know, I just wanted to walk around the humidors, see what they have. So she says, yeah, sure, help yourself. She comes in. She says, anything in particular? I already told this to June. I said, yes. Where are the Jose Pietras? she looks at me like, oh, gosh. And I said, no, I'm just kidding. So I picked up some regionals because there was no point really for me to pick up. Right. Actually, I picked up some Coronas Gigantes for Bolivar just because I always struggle in finding those Churchills. But then in the corner, they had a lot of stuff. I got the Romeo Cedros, the Cedros, and a lot of new things. And I got the Partagas Maduro, which is ugly as fuck.
You smoked it yet?
No, I haven't smoked it yet. But it's ugly as hell, man. Oh, yeah. Terrible looking wrapper. But in the corner is this open box of H. Upman Magnum 56s, so you can see them in there and everything like that. It's in its own little – the fancy stuff's in its own displays within the humidor. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, is there any chance I can grab, you know, a single or two of the H. Upman Magnum 56? So let's see how much these things are. And she says, no, we only sell the whole box. I was like, really? You don't sell singles or anything? She says, no.
Shit. I'm sorry. Yeah,
which was like, fuck. So I was almost like, man, I was wondering, God, if I could run back to the hotel and see as many people as I could get involved in splitting this box.
No luck?
No, because they were closing and like, I had to be back at the hotel in like 30 minutes. It didn't take that long to get there, but they were also closing in like 30 minutes or like an hour and a half or something like that. I was like, this is not going to work out well. And the Dutch company we're with, they were very efficient on their time. So one of those we couldn't really we really couldn't fool around with it. But it's one of those things. It was a great experience. I have their card, so I'm going to email you that, June.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's – if you're ever – traveling, and I've been to LCDHs before. Have you ever been to an LCDH, Jim?
I have not. I had opportunities to go to, like, when I go visit my sister in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
To go, but I've never done so. I don't know why I've never done so, but I hear it's pretty freaking amazing, though.
It's – for you and I mean, it's like fucking Candyland.
Oh.
It's tons of fun. They have a lot of cool stuff. If it's a really good LCDH and you got the money, man, you can find some really cool things.
Yeah.
How
about like good, you know, regular production H stock? How did that look over there?
Oh, they had a really good selection. It was, I mean, they had a lot of, it was divided up. So you walked in and it's kind of in front of you. And I'm trying to remember now, but it's like, there's a lot of limitadas and some regionals and kind of the focus. To the right was – I saw they had a good selection of St. Louis Rays. They had some La Forticanas. They had a really good selection. To the left was like the Bolivars. They had a lot of H. Upmans, Cohibas, Monte Cristos, and so forth like that. Nice. So that was great. But it's like, you know, the duty-free at the airport, which was a nice little Habanos humidor, walk-in humidor, which was, you know – basically just Cohibas, the Siglos, you know, Linea 1492, or Classica, Bahiques, and then like over there was like Monte Cristos, Romeos, and then shit like that. And then originally I was like, dude, I'm not going to go buy any friggin' Cohibas or anything while I'm overseas. And then I got suckered at the duty free while buying chocolates and it was for my daughter. So,
was it at duty free? Just out of curiosity.
The Seagull 6. I can't remember. I think I threw out the receipt so the wife didn't flip out. the Seagull 6 tubos were like 67 euros. So it was like, no, 22, 23, which is a little high.
Yeah. But I mean, reasonable.
Yeah. But The LCDH prices were really good. I mean, a lot of the stuff was between like 11, 15 euros, which is the stuff that I was looking at, which was really not that bad at all. I mean, the funny thing is it's just I walked in and I was like, I don't know how much stuff I was going to be picking up. So I was like, so she's following me around with this tray and like a little scanner. It was like a little wedding registry that she's like, beep, beep, you know, and by how many buy. So I was like, I'll just get one of these. And one of these, and then one of these, and one of these. So it's like we're leaving, and I just keep adding to this damn tray. And then we're walking out the door. I was like, wait a minute, and one of those. But she was, I mean, it was like the guy's wife. She was really nice. So it was a lot of fun. So if you're ever international, always look up to see if there's going to be an LCDH because it's one of those.
Only go to LCDH, folks, or else, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. As most of you guys know, that's fake. So definitely LCDH is your spot. Don't buy all, even if it's not in a glass top. You know, if the price is too good, it probably is.
Yeah. And if they got a lounge and you can smoke in the lounge, buy one. Smoke in the lounge. It's an experience that you just can't. I remember when I was up in Montreal, I went to the LCDH in Montreal. And, I mean, my mom basically had to get Montreal police to pry me out of there because I was just throwing back mojitos and smoking mojitos. But it's worth it. Always a good time.
Yeah. I was going to, when you mentioned the part against Maduro, throw a review on that if you got time, because I've heard some word that some believe that it's not a Cuban puro.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So let me know. I mean, let us know what you think, man. I should have told you that, but, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I'll probably smoke it and be like, what the hell? So who knows?
I'm going to say, I don't feel like Cohiba Maduros taste like Cuban cigars.
Cohiba Maduros are really, really, really interesting. I mean, they're disappointing as hell, but it's always fun to sometimes if you get a really good Maduro, there's one that's the Maya Selva Maduro. And to me, that's like a good Cohiba Maduro. Like, that's what Cohiba Maduro could be.
Okay, interesting.
I really like that. But, yeah, so I'll get around to the Partagas Maduro and let you know what I think of it. So it's interesting. I think a couple of people told me that it just needs some time. But
you were you're telling me we're offline about the machine-made cigars that you were smoking that you were crazy about. Tell people about those. I mean,
oh yeah, the they're actually really good. The here's one for example. These Balmoral aged 3 years. Short filler, you know, it's just like
Balmoral isn't. So the Balmorals are the ones that we see over here. We don't see that here, right? Of course,
the Balmorals. They're making their way over here, but the Balmorals. There's two long filler lines, and then Agio makes a bunch of short filler cigars, cigarillos, and stuff like that.
But they brand it as Balmoral on there.
Yeah, these are Balmoral aged 3 years. So these are basically short filler Balmorals. I need to get more information on them, but they're great little size, already cut. I mean, I enjoyed them. I mean, it's one of those things when you go on these trips, you start smoking their stuff. And you know, some people like them, some people don't. But I've smoked a couple of Balmorals here and there, which I'm still not a huge fan of the original Balmorals, but the Balmoral XOs, the little Petit Robusto is really fun. But these aged 3 years, I was just friggin' digging them. I was pairing them with like Westy 12 and a lot of quads. So everything was fucking good, but but it was good. Other than that, it was a good experience. So, yep.
Right on.
Right on.
All right. Well, it is that time.
It is that time.
Right.
Butt embargo. Thunderdome. Oh, yeah. We need to thank Bovita. two-way humidification. And iHavanas, check them out for all you guys. iHavanas.com. Great selection. Good prices. Legit.
Yes, one of the, my opinion, one of the best gray markets out there, in my opinion. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool, guys. Well, thanks again for watching our little small, humble show. Appreciate you guys all that tuned in. As always, if you have any criticism, comments, anything, you know, disagree, whatever, man, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want future shows, you know, by all means, let us know, and we'll do it with the best of our capacity.
Criticism, you can email me at go fuck yourself.
You can email me at suck a big donkey dick.
No, seriously, message me. I don't care. Throw it at me. Call me a communist. But so that's that. One Embargo Punch Thunderdome. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a topic that Yellow Snapper and I have yet to determine.
It will be good.
It will be fantastic. Night, y'all.
Later.